What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Wisdom with the Willises. Let's go! Brenna's back again, and we're about to have a great conversation. Brenna, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
Brenna is, she's just started a new job. Mm-hmm. And so she's training and she's doing all these things. But yeah, she's in a new season of life. Hey. Y'all drop it in the comments. Say, go Brenna. She took a leap of faith and she's enjoying it.
I actually really love it. I'm very happy that the Lord like placed it in my lap. Such a God thing, but I like going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like going to work and I like what I do and I like learning, even though it's scary, but it's been fun.
Yeah.
So far. So, and I think it'll continue to be. I definitely think that once you get out of the bedside, it's hard to ever go back. So I told you the other day, I feel like I'm an office girly, which I am. But I like being an office girly.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I could see you doing it. Obviously, I'm going to have to see you doing it. I see you doing it right now. But for those of y'all who don't know, Brenna is a nurse. And so she's been working in a hospital at the bedside for 4 years?
Just about three and a half. I had been doing in the hospital setting, doing like 12, 13-hour shifts for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is insane to think.
That's a long time.
And, you know, actually, all those five years have been night shift.
Yeah.
Which is also crazy.
That was rough.
It was very rough. Do you remember the first time we started living together and you decided to make me dinner on a night shift?
I don't remember. Oh. Listen, she's trying to segue right into the topic, man. I'm trying to like warm y'all up. She's jumping right into it. Nah, we're going to get into it. But before we talk about that, because that's a perfect segue, we're going to talk about conflict resolution in relationships. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're married, so we're going to be giving you some of our perspective from, you know, the marriage standpoint. But really, this conversation can apply to any relationship, in my opinion.
I think so too.
Specifically, like more intimate. I like friendships and, you know, familial relationships, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna dive into this and see where it goes. So conflict resolution, that's the context of this beautiful segue that Brenna was about to get into. That was smooth.
Thank you. I like that.
So yeah, Brenna was working night shift. We were recently married. Okay, and now this is probably, I would say, the first like real conflict we had since we'd been married.
Oh yeah, it was our first fight. Yeah. I think I'll always remember it.
I remember it, but it wasn't like that big of a deal to me.
It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was like really funny because for those of y'all that know us, you probably know our story, but for those that don't, we started dating December 5th. Yeah. Mm. We started dating December 5th. I don't remember the date, but then 6 months later, we were married on June 5th. Never lived together. You know, we lived separately until we got married and then we moved in.
Yeah.
And so 6 months is a short time to like know someone. I mean, the Lord told me he was going to be my husband. Obviously, that's why I married him. And because he's super cute. But
well, thank you.
He's great. But 6 months, you know, you don't really have time for arguments. We were traveling back and forth.
Yeah, we were still in the lovey-dovey
phase. We were just happy to see each other on some days. So anyways, I want to hear your perspective on that evening.
Okay. So to kind of set the stage for you guys, you know that she was working night shift at this point. And I was, in the moment, wanting to be helpful, wanting to be thoughtful, and I was going to try and prepare dinner for us and have it ready by the time she woke up to go to work. She was napping at the time, and mainly where this started was we had a pressure cooker.
Instapot.
Yep. And I was going to cook some rice in it. And Brenna had done that before, but I hadn't done it like specifically myself. I'd watched her do it. And so I was in the process of preparing this wonderful meal. And I was doing it right, I believe, but I second guessed myself. And so I went in the room and I just gently tried to ask her, like, hey, so when you're like cooking the rice in the pressure cooker, I can't even remember exactly what question I asked her, but she like jumped up and was like freaking out, like the house was on fire. And I'm sitting here like, huh? And she basically, if I remember correctly, because you're gonna have to, like, my
honestly,
memory doesn't
yeah,
serve
I'm,
me correctly all the time.
I'm gonna have to try and remember, but continue on what you think happened.
But from what I remember, she got up and was just basically kind of upset that I tried to cook the rice in the Instapot without completely knowing what to do. And I think it scared her, rightfully so, because the more that I learn, and I'm learning all the time, but the more that I learn about these Instapots and pressure cookers, the more I'm like, wow, that could have been bad. That could have been bad if I really didn't know, like, if I wasn't paying attention like that. All that to say, from my perspective, we got into a disagreement because I was expecting to surprise her and, you know, and her to be just like, oh my gosh, I have the best husband in the world who just made me some rice and some whatever else I was cooking. But instead, she was like freaking out. And so for me, I was like, and it was some of the tone too, now that I remember, there was just some things that, like, I was like, man, she's treating me like I'm a dummy, like I'm a kid, like I don't know how to cook,
that part,
right?
That like I'm a kid was your main.
Yes. Yeah. That was the main thing. And then I don't know, like, this was what, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
So over 4 years ago. So it's hard for me to remember exactly how it went, but what was your perspective on that?
So let's set the stage. If you've ever worked a night shift, you know, because I think I had worked prior to that. Mm. So I'd worked prior. I was exhausted at that point. I was super tired. So I had gone to bed at like 8 o'clock, maybe like 9 or so, because I was a nurse then. So I went to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And then my plan was to wake up, I think, like 5:30 on those days that I had to go back in. And so PM. And so it takes you a while to get into like a really deep sleep on when your schedule's off. So I was already in like a really deep sleep, but knowing I was going to have to wake up soon, if that makes any sense. And I was already annoyed because you're instantly annoyed having to wake up during like the day. It's just night shift will really do you dirty. But I remember being in this kind of like haze, just still trying to sit there, wake myself up. And Austin comes in and wakes me up. It was the first thing. And I was like, oh my word. Okay. But then decides to tell me that he's cooking in the pressure cooker and he doesn't know what he's doing in a sense, and he wants me to explain it to him. And so I did freak out, because if y'all know what a pressure cooker is, if you flip the thing wrong, if you open the lid without turning off the pressure thing, like, you could legitimately blow up anything around you. Like, it's not a little thing. Like, it's a pretty, like, it's a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So my first thing is, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have a husband. He's going to blow off his head. He might blow off mine. We live in an apartment, so we're definitely going to have to pay for this busted microwave and walls that are about to happen. So yes, I overreacted. Yes, I definitely could have been nicer in my tone because I definitely probably was not. But it freaked me out. And so I was like, what are you doing? Like, you can't just mess around with a pressure cooker. And I remember him being very upset and basically like, you just talked to me like I was a kid, and I was sitting there like, oh gosh. And then it finally, after I settled down, I realized how nice it was what he was trying to do. Obviously, he wasn't trying to blow up the apartment, but like, I was just scared that he was going to. And anyways, I realized it, and I felt so bad. I really did. I felt really bad, but words had already been exchanged. Yeah, I did. Words had already been exchanged. He had done stormed off onto the balcony of our little tiny one-bedroom apartment, and I was like, well, he's going to have to come say sorry to me because this is his fault. He woke me up. He started the pressure cooker. La, la, la. That was like what was kind of going on in my head. I was also like crying in the room. I was like, so sad because it's our first fight. And I'm sitting there like, what is happening? We've been in this little blissful marriage bubble this whole time. Mm. But anyways, yeah, that's kind of how I remember it. But I do remember feeling bad, but also not knowing how to resolve it because it was like the first argument we had ever been in. And growing up and in past relationships, I was always the type of person, obviously before the Lord, that had to get the last word, had to get the last say. I was going to hurt your feelings and that was going to be that. Like, I was going to hurt your feelings and you were going to make sure, I was going to make sure you knew that you were in the wrong, and I did not care how you felt. That was Brenna pre-JC.
Yeah, you gotta throw that disclaimer in there because people listening and be like, dang. Mm-hmm.
And it was so easy, I think, in that moment for me to want to revert back to that. And I probably did show parts of that person still, you know. I was still being refined. And I definitely probably did not handle that in the way that I should have. But, so that's how I wanted to feel in the moment. Like, I think we waited till, gosh, when did we, how did we?
I can't even, you know, to be honest with you, I can't even remember how exactly we
got over it.
Officially got over that. But so we don't, you know, make this whole podcast about the pressure cooker story. The important thing is that I remember we communicated and we explained to each other why we were offended, why we were upset. And at some point we did apologize.
Yeah.
And
then I think we laughed.
Excuse me. Yeah. And then we laughed. And it's a story that we tell all the time because it started with a pressure cooker, expectations, and I don't know another word to throw in there, but it just showed how easy two different perspectives and two different expectations can clash and create a whole big conflict that, you know, if you're not careful, can turn into something
huge.
Huge, yeah, and it had the potential to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important, as we talk about conflict resolution and the relationships, is talking about, number one, that conflict is going to happen.
Oh, for sure.
You know, we talked about how in the first 6 months, you know, obviously we were in that honeymoon phase, as they call it, not really much going on as far as disagreements. You know, most of the time there's one person, or maybe both parties are like, yeah, whatever you want to do, or whatever you want to do, I'm just glad to be with you. But we know deep down that we're individuals and there's things that we like individually, and there's things that we don't like. And that's why I think it's important to come to every relationship fully you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you say you like something, then like that for real. Yeah. If you say you don't like something, then don't like that for real. You know what I mean?
It's so funny, though, too, because you do this still all the time. Like, I learn new things about Austin all the time. Randomly, one day, he'll be like, hey, babe, just so you know, like, this isn't my favorite thing. Or, like, I don't prefer this as much. Or you just certain stuff. And I'm like, huh, okay. Well, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think in over time.
We change.
Yeah, we change. We adapt. We're growing. We're learning. You know, and I think you're learning each other over time. Like, every season's different. Every year is different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be able to communicate honestly about how you feel about things. Because, you know, personally, I feel like most of the time conflict happens when expectations aren't met or communication is not clear.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And with conflict resolution, most of the time, if you're able to resolve an issue, it's because communication has been made clear and there has been an expectation that both parties are okay with moving forward. You know what I'm saying? But most of the time getting into the conflict is because either there were expectations that were unsaid, unspoken, that were not met, which led to disappointment, or things that just weren't communicated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I just want, because I want people to relate to this. I know that people do relate with it because we're humans and we have conflict every day. But why do you think entering into relationships that people aren't completely and fully transparent about their likes and dislikes, or maybe just their expectations in general? Like, why do you think that is?
Why do you think they enter and don't say?
Yeah, like they kind of like hold back on, like, because there's a lot of things that we don't like as individuals. There's a lot of things that we do like.
I think, well, in the terms of like, well, this could go for anything, but I think you want people to like you. I think you want people to like you. You don't really want to offend anyone. You don't want someone to think that you're weird. you know, I mean, while we were dating, I definitely didn't want you to think that I was just this weird individual that didn't, like, had like these things. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, and I think we were just, we were just in love, which we still are, but like, we didn't think about, I mean, we did think about our likes and dislikes, but again, we were just really, really happy to be around each other. So I think a lot of people, it either just doesn't come up what they like and dislike until later, or they maybe try to like something for the other person.
You know,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I'm kind of seeing this whole conversation like way down the road, like where I want to go with it kind of. But when you were talking, I kept thinking about how, yes, there are things that we like and dislike. Yes, there are things that we prefer individually. But when we enter into a relationship with someone, you know, whether that be a friendship or intimate relationship or whatever, most of the time we enjoy and we value the time and the time that we spend with a person that our wants and our desires are minimized. Not that they disappear,
no, that's true.
But it's like, I can get over this because I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? If I really want this thing, I'll get it after we leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I'll do it later. But I'm not going to over emphasize my desires and my wants, you know, because I'm spending time with you. And a lot of times we see this in the beginning, but as we get comfortable, right? Or maybe we get tired of being around some people, then it's like, you know what? I want to blah, 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 blah.
Austin started telling me no sometimes with certain stuff. And I was like, who? is this individual? Not like no in a bad way, but you know, just do a little thing, be like, no, I don't wanna. And I'd be like, who are you?
Look, I told her from the jump, like, I'm not going to, I say from the jump, but very early on, I told her, I'm not going to lie to you, you know, when you ask me something for real. So this is kind of funny. She would ask me, she would ask me stuff like, hey, I'd be in the bed comfortable. Let me give you context. I'd be in the bed comfortable, just rolled over, just got comfortable, about to close my eyes. And she would ask me something like, hey, do you want to get up and like turn the light off? And early on in the relationship, I'd be like, well, clearly she wants me to do that. So let me get up and turn the light off, even though I just got comfortable, right? But after a while, I started saying no. She would ask me, she'd be like, hey, do you want to get up and like go get me a glass of water from the kitchen? And I'd be like, no, I don't want to. But I will. Would you like me to?
So we got to always get so annoyed. I'd be like, I will go do it myself because I'm not going to ask again. That'd be so, it was so funny. And now I finally just am like, will you please go do this? Because he normally doesn't say no to that.
Yeah, she's requesting. Like, it'd be me. It'd be wrong for me to be like, nah. It's like, hey, can you help me up? No. You know what I'm But I thought it was funny because, you know, for me, it was more so about the way that it was framed more than the act. Because I'm like, okay, you're asking me a legitimate question, like I have an option here, right? Like, hey, do you want to? You know, if I'm being really honest, no, I don't.
Austin's a very honest man.
No, well, I try to be.
I'd always be like, you don't have to be so honest. Like, just go do it, please. But anyways, I do know one thing that I've learned in conflict, like resolution and stuff. And it's definitely been something that I've had to practice. Keep moving my mic, bro.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
It's definitely been one of those things that I've had to practice is not taking offense in the heat of the moment. This happened yesterday. We were having a little tiff. And Austin.
On Sunday.
Yeah, on right after the church, Lord's y'all. Day, literally. Come on now. At church. And at then church, in the car headed home. But Austin had said something, and I remember turning to him, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to respond to that. And I chose in that moment to not take offense to it. And this is obviously me and you, because we've both spouted things in the past that have just been, like, unnecessary, and you really just want to say it just to be like, jab. Or
now I feel better.
But I've really learned to try and not take offense to the pain and the frustration that someone else is projecting towards me. And that has been a work in progress because it's so easy to get offended. And it's so easy to just say what you want to say. And, you know, it's funny because after I told him yesterday, I'm like, you know what? I'm not responding to that. I sat there and I'm like, you know, sniffling and everything, and he's driving. And in my head, I'm sitting there going, thinking of all the comebacks I could have said to that. All the things that I could have said.
I was waiting
to that.
For one, and honestly.
I wanted to so bad. But I was just like, Lord, help me. Because I want to spout off so stinking bad.
Wow, man. You were about to go off on me.
I really wanted to in that moment. I really wanted to. But I was just like, Lord, please help me. And really, it's a, that is a art to learn how to sit in the, like, sit in the offense, I guess, but not get offended.
And the potential offense.
Yes.
It's lingering.
Yes.
It's almost like the visual you see in the movie Hercules, where there's like the devil on this shoulder, the angel on this shoulder, and he's like, devil's like, hey, bro, you heard what he said, right? You really heard what he said, right?
Yes.
And then on the other side, you got the Holy Spirit, who's like, hey.
Turn the other cheek.
Uh-huh. This ain't going to end well.
And I'm sitting there like, I don't want to turn the other cheek. But this is like me in my head the whole time. I mean, being completely honest, I was upset. I wanted to just spout back off. But I remember being like, you know what? What good is that going to do? Mm. And I've always tell myself this. I'm like, whenever I'm praying to the Lord, I'm like, he's my husband and I love him. And he's my best friend. I don't want to ever forget that. I'll never want to say anything that could be the last thing that I say to you.
Right.
Or, we were driving. You never know,
No, I'm just kidding.
So I always keep that in the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
Is that I love you so much more than the offending thing that, could be said between either of us. So...
Yeah.
Not taking offense is definitely something you should try practicing in your relationships, in your marriage. That's a big thing that I've had to work
on. And sitting, allowing yourself to, I'll say it like this, collect the data and sit with it so that you can represent it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we receive data, we hear something, we process it in a moment, and then we immediately hit them with a comeback. I think that sometimes we can process what's being said to us, and in some ways even listen for constructive criticism, constructive information, right? But also filter out the projection.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even somebody yesterday said something about our kid, and although the majority of it I did not agree with, there was a little aspect that I said, you know what, maybe the first part of what this individual said I can actually take into consideration and apply, right? But the other stuff I can throw out because I don't agree with that.
Yeah, it could be easy for me to take offense to someone, to what was said.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I was just like, okay, be kind. And then, just be kind. Thank you very much. I will take this into consideration. And then that's it.
They said there's a phrase that's that they say it's chew up the meat, spit out the bones.
Mm, yeah.
So... somebody can hand you a whole chicken of information, and if you were to eat that whole thing and digest that whole thing, there's some of it that's good, the meat that you need, but the bones are going to do more damage to your insides than, if you treat them like they're supposed to be treated and throw the other stuff out.
All the bad things that are said to you are projections of the other person's feelings. If that makes any sense. If someone's like, randomly, I think you're arrogant and you can be really stuck up. You're really nice sometimes and you're loving and all, but you can be really mean at times or, something like that. Try to obviously don't make that your personality. Be like, oh my gosh, this person thinks I'm arrogant and stuck up and da 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 da. But really again, chew up the meat, spit out the bones.
Yeah,
is that right? Mm. Okay. Chew up the meat of what they said. Be like, well, can I be this way sometimes? Mm-hmm. Was I like this in that situation? Self-reflect. Because sometimes they are projecting, and other times they've hit their breaking point and they're just being honest about how they feel.
Yes. So tying this into communication, expectations, all of that, there's a verse in scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. And so basically, whatever is going on in your mind, whatever you've maybe suppressed, however you're feeling, at some point it's going to come out. Just a little sidebar right here. The most insecure people are telling you by how they speak.
Oh, for sure.
The most insecure people have that insecurity within their hearts, and they project it on the people all the time. It's how they feel about themselves inside, and so it comes out. Sidebar. I won't charge y'all for that one, but you can subscribe. Anyways.
Wow.
Just kidding. But yes.
Do subscribe.
Whatever is in your heart, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're, you know, stewing, you know, in your mind, eventually it's going to come out. And you said sometimes people get to their breaking point or to their wit's end or whatever.
Yeah.
And it comes out. But a lot of times that thing's been sitting in there for weeks, months, years even, and it just takes the right trigger, the right moment, the right situation, or the right offense.
Oh, that's really to, how you feel.
To really expose what's been hidden in that heart the whole time. So I want to say this and kind of like wrap all this together, right? When we have a lack of communication, or maybe we're afraid of communicating how we feel about something, even the smallest thing, like how somebody talks to you, or maybe the way that they did something, or the way that they said something, right? When you have those moments in your heart where it's like, ooh, I don't know, that didn't sit right with me. If you're not able to communicate that in a healthy way, there is a conflict ensuing. You can expect a conflict in the future. And our hope, right, is that people don't communicate how they feel, those potential offenses or real offenses, right? And then they end up getting into a conflict that blows things out of proportion. Excuse me. And it becomes a cycle of conflict and fights and things that people aren't saying, things that people aren't communicating and resolving. And it ends up in the breaking and the damaging of relationships. We don't want that. No. So you've got to be able to communicate how you feel in a moment. And you've got to be able to really share your heart with even the small things.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's important to know who you're dealing with as well. Like, you definitely have to have, like, two mature individuals that want the same common goal. Like, I think we have the same common goal. We don't want to be fighting. We want to laugh and have fun and, you know, do all that. And we want to resolve conflict. You know, it takes two to tango, always. And you have to be, like, you could be trying to resolve a conflict and you could be healthy, but someone else might not be. And
that's a very good point.
I mean, I don't really know where to go from there with that, but
No.
I do think it's important to remember who you're having to deal with. In those situations.
No, that's very important, because tying this back into scripture and the biblical example that we have to handle conflict, basically there's so many scriptures that talk about preferring one another over yourself, right? Or laying your life down for another person, someone you love. It ties back into what we were saying earlier about loving the person so much so that what you want isn't that big when it comes to preserving a relationship, you know? But I'll always say this, right? Pride hides easy solutions. Believe me when I say this. Whenever there's a conflict and you really want to get out of the conflict, or there's necessary conflict, right? But whenever there's a conflict, God will give you the easiest solution to get through the conflict.
Yeah.
Right? But pride will hide easy solutions. I'm not saying you should let people walk over you and accept abuse or anything like that, right? But if you have pride in your heart, you're not going to be able to hear the simple solution that God is giving you to overcome a conflict and to move past something, right? Because pride will say, I'm the one that needs to be apologized to. I'm the one that needs X, Y, or Z. And the longer that pride stays there, the harder your heart's going to become in the situation, and you're not going to do what needs to be done to keep your heart open. And I want to say this too, right? Your heart, like from a anatomical perspective, right? You've got veins and arteries and all these other things, right? And blood is supposed to be flowing through the heart constantly. And it's supposed to be flowing without blockage. Whenever you have blockages in your flow, right, you got other issues. Dr. Austin, absolutely not. But so what happens, we think about, we know that from just a science perspective. Mm-hmm. But there are things that happen in our lives that spiritually or emotionally attempt to block the flows of love, if you will, in the heart. That sounds so funny, right? But the flow of love, the flow of peace, the flow of joy in your heart, there are offenses that the enemy tries to plant to block that flow and to create other issues in your heart and life, right?
And it ultimately kills you.
Yeah, if it stays too long. Yeah. If it stays too long, right? And so
you can have 100% blockage.
Oh, man, that's not good. Heart attack. That ain't good. You heard it from Nurse Brenna. Oh my
That ain't good.
But so if you've got that emotionally, if you've got that spiritually, something blocking you, it's God's desire to remove that thing. Yeah. And he will always give you a solution, but sometimes it may not be one that's going to make you look like you came out on top. Sometimes the solution that God's going to give you is going to, on the outside, make it look like you were the one that was wrong.
Yeah.
But in the end, you will have the freedom to let love flow through your heart and to not be blocked and not need an apology, not need something from another person or individual. And ultimately, you get yourself out of the conflict.
Right.
Because somebody can say like, nah, we still got conflict, but you, I'm good, baby. I'm good. Oh my gosh. It's so funny. But we might have to do another conversation on this. I know so many different avenues that we could take on this, but I really just feel it's important to understand just a few things, right? Number one, conflict is going to happen in relationships. Don't you agree?
If you're in close proximity, one day you will argue.
Yes, it's going to happen.
You will have a conflict.
But our goal is to help people overcome that.
Yeah, give you practical solutions and wisdom from the things that we've already had to experience.
Mm-hmm. And still, I mean, we're not perfect at this by any means.
Not at all.
But we've had enough conflict in our marriage to kind of know, like, all right, we know what to do when this happens. We know what we're supposed to do. It may take us a minute, but we know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, we have gotten to the point, though, where I feel like it doesn't take us as long as used to, maybe, which is nice, because I just want to hang out with him, and he always going to be mad, so I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm going to give y'all an example of this, and then we'll kind of maybe wrap it up here. So yesterday, we got into an argument, disagreement, whatever yesterday, and I had said some stuff, I admit, let me repent to you right here on live so you can get this in real time. Because I actually didn't like verbalize this, but I am sorry. I should not have said what I said about your research yesterday. And so I apologize because I do know.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at what I said when you said that. It's like, you did not mean that in an endearing way, so I'm just not going to respond.
Yes. We got into a disagreement about parenting and stuff, which we're going to talk about parenting at some point.
That is a whole nother podcast because I also don't think we've been in as many, like, parenting will make you tense.
Mm-hmm.
It will make you tense and then add some hot weather onto that,
and
a toddler who's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, pregnancy.
It's a lot.
And it's like worlds clash, but thank you, baby. I, you know, and I'm sorry. I repent as well for
Oh, for what? No, just kidding.
Well, just simply for not communicating well, really. I definitely could have communicated better yesterday. But anyways, tell the people what you did.
Okay, so yeah, we were upset and I was going to let her do her thing. I was going to do my thing because I'm like, man, I'm good either way.
Whatever. He says that, but he walks around and his face is all like.
It doesn't look like that. But anyways, no, I'm just kidding. So I went outside and I like to be outside usually. And I was going to go check on some things we were growing outside.
We drove home and, in silence.
Yeah, we drove home in silence. And when I was outside, I have to walk past some flowers that we have growing to go to where I was going, right? And when I walked past, I looked at them, and they're like, I just cut some, and it takes a little while for them to grow. But this particular time, there was one flower that was like looking really good. And I had this thought in my head that the Lord was like, give Brenna that flower and just say sorry. And I looked at it and I'm like, let me just keep going. I went to go look at what I was looking at and I was like, I knew what I had to do. I knew the simple solution the Lord was telling me was go get her that flower. Go in there and say sorry. And it's going to be done, right? So I was walking back in towards the house. I had to walk past the flowers again. And I said, okay, all right, here we go. So I cut the flower. I go inside and I bring in the flower and I'm like, I'm sorry. We hugged it out in the kitchen right there.
I'm sorry too. And then we laughed.
And we laughed.
What's wrong with us?
And I said, all right, let's come outside. Let's come look at this.
And that was it. We were fine and it was over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of our stuff goes.
It is how a lot of our stuff goes. We're definitely not yellers. We're not screamers. We're not name callers. We're not nothing like that. But we do have our tiffs and we've definitely grown in how to resolve those quickly and efficiently.
Yeah.
And we've just learned how to communicate. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the big thing. And I think prayer also plays a really big part in that, or just constant communication with the Lord, because even when we get in these arguments, in my head I'm talking to the Lord, like in the spirit I'm like, Lord, just help me. Tell him he needs to say sorry. I'm just kidding. I don't say that. But I'm like, what did I do? Like, what did I do wrong in this scenario? How can I fix it? Show me how to resolve this. How do I fix this? How do we fix this? Where do we go from here? Because God's our foundation, just first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll lead you through those moments of conflict. I mean, he'll guide you in what you need to do, and he'll give you those little small convictions of like, go give her the flower. Or sometimes for me, I'll just be like, look, I'm really sorry and I love you and I don't want to argue with you. Can we like, you know, and then we'll talk about why. Or we've gotten used to just being like, hey, so let me tell you why this has frustrated me, or why this is annoying me, or, you know, things like that. So
I'm glad you added that last part, because I think somebody listening could be like, well, it's not that easy, because part of me being upset is not being understood. And and the person maybe that I'm offended with or upset with doesn't understand what they did to hurt me. It's important to communicate what hurt you, why it hurt you, and how you can move forward without that thing, same thing hurting you.
Your likes and dislikes.
Yeah, you have to communicate that. And if you cannot communicate that, then that's another, you know, situation. Yeah. And you may not be able to continue that relationship. But healthy relationships, you should be able to communicate the things that hurt you, the things that make you uncomfortable, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So
it should be an open
line of communication.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And being humble enough to know that.
It really also goes into like trusting your partner or trusting the person that you're arguing with. Like, I trust, there's been multiple times where you've been like, hey, can I like talk to you about something that I, you know, it's been on my mind, or sometimes you do this and that frustrates me, or sometimes you do that, and I'll do the same thing to you. But I probably would never do that if I felt like you were going to blow up and freak out and start shaming me or like putting me down. Like you have to have that trust. Yeah. You have to have that trust with the person that you're trying to resolve something with, that, you know, I'm not saying this to like hurt your feelings, but it's something. You had said something to me one time. I had done something, I can't remember, probably done something over and over and over again. This might be longer than a 30-minute episode. I don't know.
It's all good.
It's whatever. But I remember being like, you had looked at me, we were in the car. All this stuff ever happens in the car. I don't know. That's just where we talk a majority of the time because Isaiah's preoccupied in his car seat. But I remember you had looked at me and you're like, can I tell you something that you might not notice that you do, but like you do, it like that I notice that you do. And if he ever says that, I'm already like, all right, Lord, help me to not be offended by something that he says. And he doesn't mean it in an offending way. I mean, I've done the same thing with you, you know. It's very easy to try and get offended though when someone's telling you something that could be, you know, is probably partially true, but you also, pride, it's just pride, but you don't want to admit that it's true. And you're like, well, I can point out 10 flaws that you got too, buddy. But you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
But you also have to remember that anything that you are coming to someone with that you want to resolve or anything, you have to be doing that in love. Like, you have to be doing it in kindness, not in a, you do this, and it's very, you know, but in a, you want to make that person a better individual, you know, and so really I've learned so much about trying not to get offended. John Bevere has taught me a lot. I think that really came after I listened to John Bevere's stuff on the art. Is it the art of not... The Art of Not Taking Offense or something like that, or...
The Bait of Satan was the book.
The Bait of Satan's the book, yeah. But he has something that's like something about offense. But I always remember like watching that and being like, wow, I am a kind of an offended individual a lot of times.
Very easy to do.
Very easy to do. So anyways.
Yeah, and just kind of tagging onto that and then we'll wrap up. I think it's important to tell the people you love the truth and understand that the truth will hurt. The truth does hurt. I mean, when we get saved, truthfully, I believe it's us seeing the truth in ourselves that makes being saved so sweet and makes us so grateful for what Jesus has done, because we see ourselves for who we really are, and God still chooses to love us. You know,
I think that's really good, because it's the exact same thing with how your relationships are supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Because here's the thing, like when you said, when you're talking about trusting the person that you're with, your relationship with, right?
Yeah.
You have to trust and believe that if they're telling you something, they're not telling you to just leave you. Hey, you do this, and because you do that, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Unless they're like, you know, a serial cheater or something, then hey, buddy, I can't help you. But something as simple as like, hey, I feel like, you know, I can't even think of an example, but fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can hurt because you didn't see it, you know, or maybe it was something you knew deep down inside, but you were hoping no one else saw. And it's like, dang it, somebody else saw that in me. That stinks. But that's a perfect opportunity to be loved deeper by someone and to experience true love.
Yeah, true.
To know that, hey, you're flawed, or I'm flawed in this way, and
you still love me,
and you're still choosing me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And you don't have to stay in that.
Yeah,
whatever. But such a good conversation. I know we'll keep talking, and she's got to work, y'all. So
I do have to work tomorrow. But it's been a really fun conversation.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
I
have too.
I've enjoyed this one because it's so, I feel like it's so relatable. Everyone has conflicts, and It can be hard sometimes. So anyways.
Yeah. So we got to leave him with some practical wisdom.
Yeah.
I've been talking a lot. I want to hear what you have, unless you want me to go. So.
Pray before you speak. Mm. Sit in your possible potential offense before you speak. Evaluate what they say and see if there's any lick of truth to it that you might think that you can do sometimes. And just really evaluate yourself all the time. Don't try to spit back something quick-witted to hurt someone's feelings, but really evaluate. Well, really, you should evaluate why that's in your heart anyways, if you just want to, like, hurt someone, you know. That's a whole nother thing. Valid. But, like, because it's easy to do. But really reevaluate yourself first. So do all of those things before you talk back. Because you can always pause and not say anything. But you can't always take back what you say. So
that's a good point.
You know,
that's very good.
Sometimes you just need a break. Oh, pause.
Yeah.
Go pray about it.
Yeah. Just slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's very good. I hope y'all, that's homework. I have homework. I need to do that.
Yeah.
So to add on to that, right? I've said this a few times throughout this episode, but understand and know that conflict is going to happen. In any real relationship, conflict is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you can bet your bottom dollar, as they say, that you're going to disagree with someone, that you may potentially offend someone or someone may offend you, but it's going to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. And just be aware of that.
Yeah.
But one thing that will help with that is, from your individual perspective, is come to every relationship fully and authentically you. Take notice of the things that maybe you're hiding about yourself that maybe you want to save for, you know, I don't know, save for a rainy day, or you just want to save to make sure they like you or whatever. No, be who you are, because there are people out there who are going to love you for who you are. So be true, be real, and don't be afraid to come to every relationship fully and authentically. And then understand that pride will hide easy solutions when it comes to conflict. So if there is a conflict, when you find yourself in conflict, understand that there is probably a simple solution as far as you're concerned and your peace of mind, right? But pride can be blinding that sometimes. It can be something that will make you feel like you're turning the other cheek when somebody slaps you on your right cheek.
Yeah.
But that's exactly how Christ has called us to live, is to not go tit for tat, not eye for eye, limb for limb. But we're supposed to be the catalyst, and we're supposed to change things and be peacemakers.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's it. I'm gonna leave it there. I don't wanna beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
But this was a good conversation.
It was.
I felt really laid back in this one.
Yeah, me too. You know what I mean? Maybe it's because it's like nighttime.
It's nighttime, and we're not worried about Isaiah waking up.
Literally, which I think we should do this every time.
We'll see.
Okay.
Anyways, we got to pray for them before they go. So do you want to pray? You want me to pray?
You got it, baby.
Okay. She's going to pray next episode. All right, I'll be quick. Dear Lord, thank you so much for each and every listener. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you came to the earth and you did hard things so we can do hard things. Conflict is something that is not always easy, Lord, but you give us the strength and the power through your Holy Spirit to get through conflict. You give us wisdom. You give us strategy. And so, Lord, we ask for a double portion of strategy, a double portion of wisdom when it comes to conflict and when it comes to disagreements with the people in our lives, the relationships in our lives, and the people that you've ultimately just called us to love on, Lord. And so, again, we bless each and every person listening, and we pray that something we said would bless them. And we thank you for the opportunity to do this, Lord. We don't take it lightly. And with that being said, the church says,
Amen. Bye, guys. All right.
Until next time.
Until next time.